This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
A vaccine by year's end. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Monday, May 4th. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump says he now expects as many as 100,000 Americans may die from COVID-19, but anticipates a vaccine by the end of December.
States are offering more insight about the impact of the pandemic on places like nursing homes. We'll have some numbers.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says there's evidence that the new coronavirus came from a lab in Wuhan, China.
And there are no live sports on TV right now, whether you prefer baseball, basketball, hockey, or soccer, but you're still paying for them in your cable fees.
You sort of have an undead pro sports season. Nobody wants to admit that we're not going to have a baseball season at all, or we're only going to be able to play half as many games. And until some pro sports organization essentially runs up the white flag, throws it in the towel, whatever you want to call it, no one can even start to calculate, okay, what sort of a refund are we going to give?
Rob Pegoraro at USA Today on sports network fees staying in our pay TV lineup. President Trump now predicts as many as 100,000 Americans could die from the coronavirus, in a significant increase from his estimate of 60,000 last month. His comments came during a Fox News town hall at the Lincoln Memorial last evening.
We're going to lose anywhere from 75, 80 to 100,000 people. That's a horrible thing. We shouldn't lose one person over this. This should have been stopped in China. It should have been stopped. But if we didn't do it, the minimum we would have lost is 1.2 million, 1.4 million, 1.5 million. That's the minimum.
He also believes that a coronavirus vaccine could be available by December. The president also predicted that the U.S. would be self-reliant on antibiotics without needing to rely on China within 2 years. Meanwhile, more states are now releasing information about the coronavirus in nursing homes and long-term care facilities. USA Today says more than 16,000 residents and staff have died, roughly a quarter of the nation's overall death toll of 67,000. In multiple states, including Kentucky, Colorado, and Pennsylvania, more than half of the state's fatalities are from nursing homes. States continue to wrestle with decisions about easing stay-home restrictions and extending them. The Wall Street Journal says at least 30 states have now started to allow some businesses to operate or announced plans to do so this month. Meanwhile, even authorities in hard-hit states like New York and New Jersey opened up some outdoor spaces with warnings about maintaining a social distance. Elsewhere, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine on ABC's This Week.
We're going to move forward on that with restaurants in a week or so. And that's going to be by a group that, you know, of restaurant folks, big and small, who've kind of laid out this is the way to do it.
In Orange County, California, surfers flocked to beaches over the weekend after Governor Gavin Newsom closed them due to large crowds drawing protests. Meanwhile, officials in Travis County, Texas, temporarily shut some parks this weekend to guard the safety of visitors and staff after they documented what they called a large number of visitors. The Trump administration is increasingly pointing a finger at China, claiming the coronavirus originated at a laboratory in Wuhan, adding fuel to a point of tension between Washington and Beijing. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said yesterday on ABC's This Week that he has seen enormous evidence that the virus infecting much of the world originated in a lab in that Chinese city.
The Chinese Communist Party continues to block access to the Western world, the world's best scientists, to figure out exactly what happened. So I can't answer your question about that because the Chinese Communist Party has refused to cooperate with world health experts.
Intelligence officials last week said they continued to examine the origins of the virus and to determine whether the outbreak began through contact with infected animals or if it was the result of a lab accident. China has repeatedly denied any links between the outbreak and any lab. Separately, British Defense Minister Ben Wallace said today that China has questions to answer over the information it shared about the outbreak. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. Cybersecurity experts are increasingly worried that U.S. elections are growing even more vulnerable to outside interference because of the coronavirus pandemic. They say funds to prevent interference and ensure people can vote safely are running thin. Maggie Miller, cyber policy reporter at The Hill, says the chaos caused by COVID-19, which has forced states to delay or cancel primary elections and move toward allowing residents to vote absentee, has presented a new array of challenges. Maggie, explain.
Honestly, securing elections is not a new issue. You know, it's been quite in the spotlight since 2016 and the various attempts at Russian interference during that time. But basically, you know, the COVID-19 crisis has created a lot of chaos across a lot of different fields, a lot of different issues. I mean, there's very few areas that haven't been impacted, and elections are unfortunately one of the areas that are really feeling the pressure from it. So, you know, in terms of election security, you're looking at, you know, the need to not only secure elections in a way that people are able to still vote and be able to have preserve their health, but also make sure that no one is trying to interfere in these elections. So, you know, you think, oh, we're moving to mail-in ballots. Oh, that's going to, you know, cut down on the amount of potential interference. But actually, you know, in order to request those ballots, you have to go online, and sometimes you have to request them online on systems that could still be vulnerable. When those mail-in ballots get sent in, machines are still being used to count these ballots. And there are just other types of vulnerabilities, such as just general chaos at the polls. If people do go vote in person, you're going to have to deal with sanitizing the machines between voters. You're going to have to deal with hiring new poll workers, potentially a younger group of poll workers, in order to stay away from those most vulnerable. And yeah, I think the word chaos is a good way to put it, because quite frankly, you know, you throw coronavirus in an area where people were already really, you know, working hard, states, federal government, local officials, everyone, to try to secure elections, and then you have this, you know, wild card thrown in the mix. It doesn't really help anyone having the coronavirus crisis right now.
Right. What about all that money that Congress just threw at this?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Congress just appropriated in March, as part of that $2 trillion stimulus package, $400 million to the states to help address election issues that have come up with coronavirus, with the coronavirus crisis. Now, $400 million sounds like a lot, but a lot of election officials, some bipartisan, you know, bipartisan secretaries of state, along with local officials, along with voting rights groups, have been saying that this is not nearly enough. You know, a lot of the experts are saying that states are going to need up to $4 billion to be able to adequately address the ability to put on elections, you know, and that includes everything from having sanitation equipment to, again, training poll workers to paying for mail-in ballots to be sent out to states to, you know, being able to have enough employees counting those ballots. So, you know, $400 million does sound like a lot, but especially when you put it in the context of states, you know, potentially facing bankruptcy, there's been some discussion of that, you know, it really is, to put it in the way that multiple Democrats on Capitol Hill and the way that multiple voting rights groups have put it, it's really more of a down payment, that type of funding, when really states, they really need quite a bit more.
All right, so it's not just about concerns of hacking from, say, China or Russia. This is almost as much as about local logistics, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, there was a report actually that came out from the Brennan Center and a few other major voting rights groups that found that actually local officials are going to have to bear about 90% of the election costs. And, you know, they're not doing much better right now than states are in terms of funding during the coronavirus crisis. So, yes, of course, there is the potential that, you know, foreign governments may try to interfere, and that could also take the form of disinformation on social media. However, it really doesn't help when state and local officials, who are the ones that really are the ones on the ground running these elections, are facing a huge funding shortfall.
Man, we're speaking with Maggie Miller, cyber policy reporter at The Hill. She's written a piece about how the pandemic is making elections more vulnerable here in the U.S. How can we as voters then feel confident casting a ballot in November?
Well, I think you should always know that voting, election officials, both at the state and local government, are working hard. I know that they're some of the most hardworking people I speak to on my job. I know they're very dedicated to this process. And also the fact that, you know, while there was initially a lot of pushback against the idea of mail-in voting, the majority of states are moving towards some form of boosting the ability to do that. And I think, you know, a lot of states recognize that this is a big issue, you know, not only the general election in November, but the primary elections. You know, a lot of them have been postponed, delayed, et cetera. And I will say that it is an issue that many officials at many levels recognize is a problem and are doing their best to work towards addressing.
Thanks, Maggie. Maggie Miller, cyber policy reporter at The Hill. It's 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Trump says he now believes as many as 100,000 Americans could die in the pandemic after the death toll passed his earlier estimates, but he says he's confident a vaccine would be developed by the end of the year. Trump alternated during a two-hour town hall broadcast by Fox between forecasting a rapid recovery for the economy and casting blame for the pandemic spread on China.
People are going to be safe. We've learned a lot. We've learned about the tremendous contagion, but we have no choice. We can't stay closed as a country. We're not going to have a country left.
Number two.
The Trump administration stepped up assertions that the virus originated at a lab in Wuhan, adding to tension between the U.S. and China. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo spoke with ABC.
China has a history of infecting the world, and they have a history of running substandard laboratories. These are not the first times that we've had a world exposed to viruses as a result of failures in a Chinese lab.
Intelligence officials last week said they continue to examine the origins of the virus.
Number three.
Researchers are investigating whether a common blood plasma product used in treating immune system disorders could also be effective in coronavirus patients and potentially shape future trials of new treatments specific to COVID-19. The treatment the researchers are focused on is made from antibodies taken from the blood plasma of donors in the general population, not people who have had the coronavirus. The Supreme Court resumes oral arguments today using 20th century technology to help resolve a 21st century legal issue. The justices will not gather in their courtroom, but will instead participate in a conference call, a first for the Supreme Court. After brief opening statements from the lawyers, the justices will ask their questions. The court has been closed for 2 months. Well, Mike Trout and Garrett Cole aren't the only major leaguers with a big financial incentive to get back on the field. While they head a quartet that would take in more than $200,000 per game, an AP analysis has found that 65 players would earn at least $100,000 each time their team wins or loses if the delayed Major League season gets underway. Most rookies and those making the minimum would get about $3,500 each. Every game added to the big league schedule earns players about $24 million in aggregate.
Man, almost makes it sound like, we lost. But I got 100 grand. Oh my goodness, the money sloshing around. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour. Thanks for being with us. Your pay TV program grid no longer features live pro sports, but your pay TV bill includes the same sports network fees as always. That's yet another consequence of the novel coronavirus pandemic. And like most others, months may pass before any resolution. It's a story by Rob Peguerero, tech columnist at USA Today. Rob, what's the situation?
The situation essentially is you sort of have an undead pro sports season. Nobody wants to admit that we're not going to have a baseball season at all, or we're only going to be able to play half as many games. And until some pro sports organization essentially runs up the white flag, throws it in the towel, whatever you want to call it, no one can even start to calculate, okay, what sort of a refund are we going to give? Which it sounds like will be the eventual outcome. You'll get some money back at some point to reflect the money you've been shelling out for regional sports network fees that are supposed to bring you all these live games that aren't happening.
All right, so that's going to be a trickle-down, I would imagine. Like Major League Baseball will refund some of the fees that have been paid by these regional sports networks, which will then refund it to the cable companies, then to us. Is that how that works?
It's sort of the reverse of the usual thing, which is where you have these companies that have done very well spending other people's money. You know, you're a team, you spin up a regional sports network, you get cable and satellite companies to pick it up, and then stick the charges for that on the bills of customers, many of whom may not have actually cared that much about sports in the first case. So now we may see some of that money flow in reverse. The question is, how long are we going to have to wait?
All right, so we're not getting any kind of refunds now, are we?
No. The only way is out, you can certainly try to call and complain, and the time-honored recourse is you get some sort of retention offer, a discount, or some free channels. If you're on an online-only service, there's one called Fubo TV, which has a very heavy emphasis on sports. They have sports add-ons that bring you these sports networks. You can just drop them from your plan, you know, anytime you want.
We're speaking with Rob Pregorero, tech columnist at USA Today. His piece is called How Sporting Is This? Sports Network Fees Stay in the Pay TV Lineup Despite No Live Action. When might we see some resolution on this?
I wish I knew. You know, I'm looking at my calendar, and I should have gone to four different baseball games in D.C. right now. I was really looking forward to see the Washington Nationals hoist their World Series championship banner at Nationals Park. I have no idea when that's going to happen. We might, maybe not until April of 2021, much as I hate to think about that.
Yeah. Are there other ways that customers here can be made to feel whole?
So I talked to one guy at Octagon, a major sports and entertainment agency, and his advice to all the organizations involved was, you know, the minimum you can do, the very least, is some sort of financial make good.
It's Rob Pregorero at USA Today. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Even in tough times, you want to try to look your best, even if it's just from the waist up for those video chats. So when it comes to your facial hair, Harry's has you covered, bringing you incredibly high-quality blades at factory direct prices, just $2 per blade. Now, when it comes to my facial hair, I'm typically a goatee guy, but lately I've been using these times of home quarantine to experiment with a full beard. This has allowed the precision trimmer blade on my Harry's razor to take center stage. I use it to make sure my new beard is looking its best. Now you can keep your face looking smooth too, or your beard looking clean, with a Harry's trial set delivered right to your doorstep. Just go to harrys.com/gordon to order yours. And get this, to help support those who need it the most right now, Harry's is donating $1 million worth of shaving supplies to hospitals across the U.S. so you can feel good about looking good. Listeners of our show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/gordon. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/gordon to start shaving better today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday, May 4th. May the 4th be with you. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. President Trump says he's optimistic about a vaccine for the new coronavirus by the end of the year. Arkansas today reopens gyms. Doors are reopening at restaurants, bars, casinos, and breweries today in Montana. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says there's evidence the virus came from a lab in China. National Teacher Appreciation Week. We'll name some of the promotional goodies available right now. And the Florida teenager drawing praise for her rendition of the national anthem from a microphone in her driveway. That story in about 20 minutes. Time for a business update, and it's brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checking or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One NA, member FDIC. The U.S. airline bailout ended up with no relief for travelers stuck with vouchers from airlines refusing refunds. Now airlines are getting more creative, even duplicitous, in pushing vouchers on customers to whom they owe money. Examples from Scott McCartney, travel columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Scott, what are you hearing?
We're deep into it, and yet we're still at the beginning. In the United States, if an airline cancels a flight, you're due a refund. It's pretty simple. You don't get the service, you get your money back. That's not necessarily true in regulations in the rest of the world. But what we've seen is that a lot of airlines around the world have not complied with that policy for their U.S. customers. So it's been a big problem. Airlines are short on cash. They want to give you a voucher for the flight that they canceled, but you're actually due a refund. Now, if you cancel voluntarily ahead of time, then you just get a voucher. But if the airline cancels the flight, you are clearly due a refund. And a lot of consumers have been having trouble with this. So I did a kind of a survey of 40 different airlines in the U.S. and around the world, and about half of them were sort of complying, mostly complying as best we could tell. Some of that does involve long delays to get your refund, but the other half, they're either not complying, insisting that you can only get a voucher, or they're attaching all kinds of strings. One of them is paying refunds in frequent flyer points, and then another is saying, "Well, you get a voucher, and if you don't use it within a year, as a Scandinavian, then we'll give you the refund."
Speaking of that, all these billions in fees that helped airline profits over the past few years—no cash cushion, or they've burned through that at this point?
You know, it's a tricky question. The U.S. airlines actually have a lot of cash cushion. They also have a federal bailout coming their way. Now, they are refunding. It may be slow in many cases. United has added all kinds of hurdles to reduce the refunds that they pay out, which are really questionable at this point. But there is a cash cushion. That's true for some airlines around the world, the big established ones, the British Airs, Air France's and all, but they're burning through their cash quickly. Now, those guys are getting and will get government support. In the case of Alitalia, for example, the government's basically taken over the airline. I just don't think Italy is going to let Alitalia disappear. That day may come. The real economic problem for the airline industry is that when you buy a ticket, they spend the money. They don't hold on to the money until you fly. They spend the money and they record a liability on their books for the future trip that you're going to take. And so when the pandemic really hit, new purchases vanished. And yet they were still flying airplanes, so they're still buying some gas, not as much as they used to. They're still paying their employees, maybe not as many as they used to. They still have to pay for airplanes, leases, or their purchase agreements, or whatever it might be. There's a lot of money going out the door, and there's no money coming in. And in some cases, nobody had, you know, the kind of cash that you would need to survive that.
We're speaking with Scott McCartney. He writes the middle seat column for The Wall Street Journal. His piece is called The 19 Airlines Making Refunds a Headache. I know you referenced a couple before. Are there some U.S.-based airlines that are just doing absolutely wrong by their customers right now?
I think United is doing several things that I do think are absolutely wrong. United had a policy before the crisis that if they canceled your flight and couldn't rebook you within 2 hours, then you got a refund. And the regulation says you do a refund if the airline makes a significant change. So United's definition was 2 hours. American, interestingly, their definition was 60 minutes. Delta's definition was and is 90 minutes. And United said, we're going to change that to 6 hours. And we're going to apply it retroactively. Usually, when you buy a ticket, you buy the rules that go with that. And the airline can't say later, oh, we changed the price, or oh, we're going to charge you double the bag fee. It can't be applied retroactively. They did that in this case. And so that's really limiting the refunds that are eligible. And there are folks in Congress and elsewhere who really are upset about this.
Thanks, Scott. Scott McCartney, travel columnist at The Wall Street Journal, based in Dallas. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. It's time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, assuming you did make it out of bed on this Monday morning, how long did it take you? And what did you use to wake up? A new poll of 2,000 Americans revealed that it takes, on average, 24 minutes for us to get out of bed and start the day, but only after two alarms and hitting the snooze button twice. The reason for all this, of course, is because we're just too comfy in bed, with half of us giving that as our reason for not moving. Staying up and watching too much TV can also contribute to us waking up in a bad mood. Also, half of us wish we could skip the alarm altogether and have our parents wake us up like when we were kids. I like that idea.
A little kiss on the forehead.
Yeah. Yes. Come on, sweetie. Mm-hmm. And while most of us wake up feeling groggy and looking for any extra shut-eye we can get, 18% of respondents, Gordon, say they actually wake up happy, and another 11% wake up energetic and motivated to take on the day.
Wow.
I don't know who these people are,
yeah,
but I don't think I want to really talk to them right now.
24 minutes after the alarm goes off to get out of bed and start the day.
Right.
That's a couple of snoozes.
Yeah.
And I can't go past the first one. Like, my time is budgeted really tightly.
Yes, I think for all of us, we get up as early as we do.
It's just not an option. And and most times, like, if I wake up before the alarm, it's because I got to go to the bathroom.
Right.
And I can usually tell roughly what time of middle of the night time it is. Do you have this? Yeah. Dave is nodding his head. It's the same thing. Like, yeah. I roughly know. I think it's about 1 a.m. Go to the bathroom. I still got an hour and a half of sleep to go. Like, it's a weird sense, I guess, that the early risers have.
I don't technically snooze, but I do have, said two separate alarms and then a backup alarm, a fail-safe alarm, just in case those phone alarms don't work.
Right.
Old school alarm clock, that's ready to go just in case all else fails. And sometimes even that fails.
I set one alarm at 2:30, the other one at 2:45, and then I actually set a timer. So when I go to bed at night, I set a timer as the third fail-safe.
And never once when the alarm went off at 2 in the morning did I wake up energetic and motivated to take on the day as the 11% of people.
That's a fair observation.
And it was a good news, bad news situation, Gordon, for an Arizona family. The good news is, despite dozens of alerts from their front porch security camera, there was no human trying to break into their home. The bad news is, thousands of bees had taken over their porch instead. Kelly Harper says when she checked the camera, she couldn't even see her porch through the swarm of bees. She said the security camera also captured the moment a surprised FedEx driver dropped off a package and sprinted for safety when he spotted the bees. The family contacted a beekeeper who safely removed the swarm. Of course, it could have been worse since these were just run-of-the-mill American bees and not the new murder hornets that we've been hearing about showing up in the U.S. the past few days.
Right.
As if we needed something else.
Right.
Now we got to worry about murder hornets.
Right. Avoid the pandemic, avoid the murder hornets when you go outside.
Yeah, I mean, even if they're not murderous, I mean, that's an intimidating name no matter what. Even if they're not going to murder all of us.
I think I saw something that said they can fly up to 25 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And that's quite a collision in your forehead, like if you're not paying attention.
2 inches long at 25 miles an hour, you're going to get some bruises.
13 minutes in front of the hour. Let me tell you about my new favorite way to pass the time while commuting. It's the app called Blinkist. Blinkist works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and whittles it down to just 15 minutes. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading self-improvement books. I just finished listening to Snowball, a Warren Buffett biography. Listen to Blinkist while commuting or maybe exercising, even while you're waiting for your kids to finish practice. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read. I also like listening to some of the history titles since I never had much good history in school. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning. Hey, it's Teacher Appreciation Week this week, and some businesses are offering goodies as part of it. At Barnes & Noble, there are discounts of up to 25% through Friday. At Brugger's Bagels, 20% off all gift card purchases through Sunday. Elsewhere, teachers can join Costco as a new member and receive $30 on a Costco shop card. Educators can visit Costco's discount page. Michael's is on board, offering teachers 20% off their entire purchase through Saturday. At Papa Gino's Pizzeria, 15% off online orders. Pinkberry. Teachers will receive 50% off any swirl, one per person, per visit, with a valid ID all week. At Sonic, guests can use the Sonic app for contactless ordering and use the promo code TEACHERS to enjoy a free large drink or slush with a purchase. That's good through Friday. Also, if you like flavored macadamia nuts, Royal Hawaiian Orchards says teachers can visit their website and use the code HEROES to see specials. All nurses, homeschooling parents, and teachers are welcome.
8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Governors continue to grapple with the push and pull between easing pandemic restrictions and extending them. As reported, coronavirus cases continue to climb, but at a lower rate. At least 30 states have started to allow some businesses to operate or announce plans to do so this month. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves spoke with Fox.
We got a large number of tests that came in from out-of-state private labs. What we found is yesterday we reported 220 new cases. This morning or later today we'll report less than 110 new cases. So it was a one-day blip.
Number two.
Protests continue in Michigan. Governor Gretchen Whitmer told CNN some of the protesters showed some of the worst racism and awful parts of our history in this country, but they were small in number.
Displays like the one that we saw at our Capitol is not representative of who we are in Michigan. There were swastikas and Confederate flags and nooses and people with assault rifles. And that's the very, you know, that's a small group of people.
President Trump again sided with protesters Friday and tweeted for Whitmer to see them, talk to them, and make a deal.
Number three.
Hundreds of people are rolling up their sleeves in countries across the world to be injected with experimental vaccines that might stop COVID-19, spurring hope, maybe unrealistic, to end the pandemic. And that would be arriving sooner than anticipated. About 100 research groups are pursuing vaccines, with nearly a dozen in the early stage of human trials or poised to start. It's a crowded field, but researchers say that only increases the odds that a few might overcome the many obstacles that remain. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's re-emergence in public ended weeks of speculation about his whereabouts. Photos and video published by North Korean state media showed Kim smiling as he walked around a fertilizer factory on Friday. North Korea watchers say the images appear to be authentic. Joe Biden has won the Kansas primary, picking up another 29 delegates. As the coronavirus began spreading nationwide in March, Kansas reorganized its primary to be conducted entirely by mail. Ballots had to be received by Saturday to be counted. It's one thing to have a teleconference office meeting. It's another to do a TV drama using social distancing guidelines. The CBS legal drama All Rise is the first scripted show in the U.S. to try doing that. Doing the shoot remotely meant stars worked from home and did their own makeup, set design, and lighting. The series finale airs tonight.
Whoa. That might be a lot worth a watch just for that. Wow. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
A teenager from Central Florida is lifting spirits during the coronavirus lockdown with a stirring rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. Sonia Heisler has sung every night for the last 3 weeks from her family's Orlando driveway, belting out the national anthem and another selection of songs. Fox 35 captured the 14-year-old's performance on Saturday, noting that people in the neighborhood maintained social distancing while they listened. Her dad, Stephen, told the station he's impressed by how much people seem to appreciate his daughter's singing, which has drawn as many as 13 golf carts, he said, along with walkers and families from well over a mile away. The teenager has performed the national anthem a number of times, including at a 9/11 remembrance ceremony at a local fire station. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.